Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda! Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents! Radio Nonsense! Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from... to... and everything in between. I'm Tiernan and this week, listeners, it's... What was that? I specifically ordered a good fanfare from the Fair Fanfare Grand Fair Trade Fair Fairground, and that's what I got? That can't be it. Maybe there was more in the envelope. Oh, yep, yeah, here you go. No, that was rubbish as well. I want trumpets. I want a trumpet fanfare.
I'm just trying something new.
No, I don't want new. I'm about to announce the winners of the Invisidog competition, and I wanted something big and grand. Do you have any more?
Sure.
Oh, I don't know why I bother. I'm going to call the Fair Fanfare Grand Fair Trade Fair Fairground and ask for my three magic beans back. Right, I guess I'll have to make do. I am pleased to announce the five winners of the competition to win a copy of the very funny Invisidog book by Stuart Heritage, who was a guest on the show a few weeks ago. To enter, you had to send in your ideas for a rubbish superhero, and these are the five that made me laugh the most. So, starting with...
Sorry!
You will be... Starting with, my idea for most useless superpower is whenever you blink, mangoes fly out of your ears. That is such a brilliantly rubbish superpower. Even if you like mangoes, I don't think anyone would want mangoes that had flown out of someone's ears or would want mangoes to fly out of their ears, as that sounds pretty uncomfortable. And then they say, I have drawn a picture of a horse with mangoes flying out of its ears. It is an amazing picture, listeners. I'll post it up on the Comedy Club for Kids social media site so everyone can see it, as I have permission from this winner's custard breath gribble. Sorry, I mean grown up. And then they say, my name is... Now, look, they have then put all of the emojis, OK? I mean it, like all of the emojis that you could think of. That is quite a ridiculous name. I don't know how you'd fit that in a passport. I don't know how... They would say that at the school register. And they've then written, please read these out. And I don't have the superpower to make this podcast 12 hours long. So I'll do a few. But their name is Puppy Dog, 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 Poodle Dog, Wolf, Fox, Raccoon, Cat, Small Cat, Black Cat, Lion, Tiger, Small Tiger, Different Small Tiger, Horse, Moose, Horse. Yeah, this goes on for most of my life. But that's their name. That's who's won. They then say, watch the programme, it's Pony. I have, and it's brilliant. So thank you tons for your entry, all of the emojis name. And thank you for suggesting that I watch It's Pony. And thank you for your absolutely fantastic superhero drawing as well of stupid, stupid mangoes coming out of their ears. You will get a copy of Invisidog in the post ASAP. I don't know if I'll be able to fit your whole name on the envelope, though. That could be tricky. Okay, next up is...
How was that?
That was awful. But never mind. Next is, my name is Parker and I'm 7. My rubbish power is fart power, so basically shooting farts out of your hands. This is a rubbish power because it just makes the air smell bad and it really wouldn't help anyone. Thanks, I love Radio Nonsense and listen to it every night. Ah, thanks so much, Parker, for listening to the show and also this amazing competition entry. Shooting farts out of your hand would be so rubbish, but I can think of one useful time, right? When you do a really stinky fart, but you want everyone to think someone else did it, then you could shoot a fart near someone else's butt and they'd get the blame and you'd be okay. But most of the time people would just say, your hands stink, wash your hands, they smell of farts, and it would be really awful. And what would happen when you wore gloves? Like, would it just sort of build up loads of farts in the gloves and then when you take them off, it'd be like a horrible fart cloud? Ugh. Anyway, Parker, you will get a copy of the book sent to you too. Thank you very much and congratulations. Then we have... No. Then we have Matty, who says, my useless superhero is Bob. That is a great name for a superhero, Matty. I would love to know what his secret alias name is. I hope it's also Bob. His useless power is to only say no. I love this. Help me, Bob! No. Not even a bit. No.
You must save the world, Bob.
No. That is so rubbish. Thanks so much, Matty, and you will win a book too. There are two more winners to read out after the most importantest bit. But first, sorry if you entered the Invisidog competition and didn't win. And thank you to all of the entries. And sorry if you didn't get to enter too. There will be an exciting new competition next week, so keep your ears out for that. But maybe don't keep them out for a week, they might get cold, unless you can fire mangoes out of them, which would probably really warm them up. Thank you for the many other messages that have been sent to Comedy Club for Kids HQ these past few weeks. I will read lots and lots of them out next week. And if you have a question that you need to have answered, or you just want to send in anything else at all, then please do get your custard breath gribbles, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. If those same grown-up would like to help support me making this show, then they can sign you up to the Linda edition, which is exactly like this one, but with no adverts in it, and it comes out a day earlier too. But they can do that on Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus, or Spotify. Oh, and the Comedy Club for Kids online shop is now currently closed until we find somewhere better to put it that doesn't cost a bazillion pounds to send things to you. Maybe it could send them by firing mangoes out of its ears. That would be a lot better. But don't go there looking for T-shirts, as all you'll find is no T-shirts. But do check comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows, as we have got absolutely loads of them coming up. And please also tell any other nonsense appreciators that you know to tune into the show as well. Okay, so now it's time for the most importantest bit. During which, I'm going to call your boss and complain that was another rubbish fanfare.
Oh no!
Richard's gone for those jeans, which go down well in launderette.
Joining me on Radio Nonsense today, it is the brilliant Lillian Wenker, a.k.a. Lillian, need an electric tambourine? She's got a billion. A.k.a. Lilica, the archenemy of vinegar, or as all of our duck listeners know you, wah, 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 wah. But of course, Lillian, you are very well known for being the only person in the world who can raise an eyebrow so high that it floats off your head and into space, for your work in helping find all the missing bits from the holes in Swiss cheese, and most famously, for your voyage across the seven seas as a reverse pirate where you would throw treasure at any boats that went past. Lillian, it's so lovely having you on the show. How are you doing?
I am doing so well. You know, my boat is light. I threw all the treasure off the boat. And so I'm just sailing by, stopping at a cafe, getting my fuel before I go off to the next voyage.
I should say, yes, for listeners, they might notice a bit of background noise that you are currently in. Is that a pirate cafe or a reverse pirate cafe?
It's a reverse pirate cafe. So I actually bring them food and then they pay me money. So I'm just here with my new money, ready to get back on board, feeling excited for my next voyage.
That's lovely. So is everyone in the cafe a reverse pirate? Like, what I worry is lots of people there are coming, bringing food. That one person that's serving is going to have to eat a lot of food and give away a lot of money.
Well, he is a professional eater, so it's amazing. He can gobble down pizzas like nobody's business. Honestly, I really brought him something big and I thought he wasn't going to be able to fully eat all the hot dogs and all the pizza. But honestly, done. 3 seconds, in fact. He's the best in the business. That's why I come to this cafe specifically.
That's amazing. And how does this, I don't know if this person has, do they, what's their name, this professional eater?
His name is John the Great.
John the
and
Great,
it's because
fantastic.
He is so great. Yes. Yeah. It's a family name as well. So he likes lovely. A little bit of a little history as well.
That's nice. It's nice to have a surname like the Great. I like that. And he well, so John the Great, I'm guessing he also has to have quite a lot of money in order to give you the money for bringing the food. But does he get that money from reverse pirates throwing treasure at him? Because it's expensive.
Well, his background is in princehood. So, you know, part of the great comes from the fact that his family was so rich. And so he was kind of destined to be this life. His grandfather was a professional eater, professional prince. And it's just kind of gone down from there. So, yeah, he has a fortune he's sitting on, literally sitting on it to support all of his. All of his body.
That sounds uncomfortable. Eats.
It is. He has bruises on his legs. He's tired.
Wow. Wow. Well, look, good for you for supporting him, though. And I think that's.
Hey.
It's a
small
lovely
business.
Thing you're doing.
Thank you.
That's right. It's a small business. I think that's a
people
that's
forget
a lovely...
reverse pirates are philanthropists. So I'm here to actually spread that gospel as well.
Yeah, I think it's such a lovely thing. I don't think there's enough reverse pirate stuff going on, really. And do you get to do the because the for me there are fun bits about normal pirates. I quite like that right. they go arr, and I quite like they have parrots. Are you allowed any of that stuff, or does it not work like that?
See, it doesn't quite work like that, unfortunately. We don't have hooks for hands. We actually just have normal hands that have a ton of tiny little hooks on them. And you think that would be easier, but actually it is. It's quite hard to type on a computer. It's quite hard. The parrot doesn't like to take the food from your hand. So we do have a harder life than most people realize.
And do you have to feed the parrot, or are you having to be fed by a parrot every day? Because I assume that's quite difficult too.
Well, that's very true. So because I'm actually not allowed to buy food, he feeds me. So it's kind of it's a codependent relationship that few people would understand, but it's become really near and dear to my heart.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Does it mean that you, I'm trying to think what parrots eat. Is it sort of cuttlefish and sunflower seeds, or is that your
diet? Yeah, it is kind of like the bird, you know, the mother bird feeds the baby birds. So the parrot will eat from the sea and then give me the leftover fish that he has not finished yet.
Lovely.
So it's a really beautiful, it's a kind of like paternal relationship. And I am surprisingly the son in this situation.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, I think, you know, maybe you're inspiring some of our many listeners to embark on a life as a reverse pirate. I'm not sure that they'll ever sort of spoken to someone that does a career as unique as yours, but I know that there's quite a few out there, aren't
there?
Thousands.
But it's kind of an invisible, it's an invisible crew because we don't go on, we don't go on the sea. We just go on the canals. And usually those are sort of like backwater. People don't realize that sort of thing. A lake, we just kind of go around and around the lake. There's not a lot of inner travel between. So
sure,
we get kind
of
stuck in our little routines.
Oh, it's nice. It's very sweet. Well, I'm so glad that you could take time out of being a reverse pirate, or out of your reverse pirating. I don't know what the term is when you're doing it. Is it just anti-pirating, reverse pirating? What's the term?
It's just actually, it's reverse pirating as a verb, yeah.
Right. That's good. I was worried I'd have to say pirate backwards or something. It would get very complicated. I'm pleased that you can take time out of that to join us on Radio Nonsense today. Have you been very busy, mainly just reverse pirating? You've been busy with many of your other endeavors as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of food collection, you know, so getting the number of hot dogs and pizzas that John the Great, for example, will eat to give me the money, I mean, that is no small feat. So it's going to a lot of Sainsbury's, it's going to a lot of Tesco's. So it's mostly kind of a food accumulation to get the money. And I also have a background in puppetry as well. So I like to keep my creative interests afloat in addition to my professional endeavors.
Hang on, I've got a lot of questions I have to ask. But firstly, is Sainsbury's and Tesco, are those the best places for pizzas, hot dogs? There's no sort of I'm a bit unaware of this. There's no sort of naturally growing hot dog fields. There's nobody that, as a reverse pirate, that you know, just has a collection of hot dogs that you can swap for treasure. There's, you know, it feels to me that Sainsbury's is it's not the choice I would have expected. That's all.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tiernan and I do have to encourage you to remember that it's the winter. So in the summer, I mean, hot dog fields are cropping up left and right. It's bumper crop after bumper crop of deep dish pizzas. Yeah. You know, New York slice. That is just beautiful. Sometimes I'll just go to the countryside and harvest and harvest till to my claws run dry, till my hooks can't hold anything else. But it is the winter and, you know, heating bills are high. Hot dogs are running slim. Every time I go in the water, I, you know, try to fish, but there's nothing. There's no hot dogs biting on my hooks. So that's unfortunately, it is the Sainsbury's and Tesco's is the season. The season necessity for us.
That's fair. You got to get those hot dogs imported from the countries where they're still growing. I understand.
Yes, exactly. And it's great. They're not as, it's hard. They're not as ripe. It's more expensive, but you know, we have to make do. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense. You're so very sensible, Lydia. And I'm, you know, I'm so pleased to have with your kind of knowledge and expertise on the show today. But I just, I need to ask now, your puppetry, you've got a background in puppetry. Is that, that's something you do on the side, sort of in between the pirating, you're kind of putting on Punch and Judy shows, little ventriloquist performances. What kind of puppetry do you go for?
Yeah, exactly. So it is marionette. And unfortunately, it had to be a hobby. I was pressured quite a bit from my parents to be in the reverse piratry business. And I just was never brave enough to break out of that spiral. So I have, for their sake, you know, kept the stable life of reverse piratry. But just for my own personal, you know, self-expression and satisfaction, I like to do marionette shows at whatever port I go to. And actually tonight I'm doing just a small version of Romeo and Juliet here for the local children. Yeah. So it is nice. It is nice. Art is really important. It's something that's taken a big back seat. So I like to keep that afloat, if you will.
And with the tiny little hooks on the ends of all your fingers, does that make puppeteering easier or harder?
It is excruciating, Tiernan. I'm going to be honest with you. It is. And I mean, this is part of my parents. You know, they said, you're not made for it. Every time you try, you sever the strings with your hooks. But I have a dream, all right? And I won't stop until that is accomplished.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And what sort of do you make your own puppets? Are you just sort of like, because like, yeah, I never really know how the puppets get made. Are you making your own? Are you buying them? Are you sort of making them out of stuff you find? Have you got puppets made of hot dogs? How does it work?
Yeah, so we tried dog. But by the time we got, you know, to shore, those hot dogs, they were set to shreds. So unfortunately, that didn't work. We do use them from old planks of wood on the on the boat, and we have a lovely little puppet apprentice who always rides around with us. I pay him; it's not part of the cruise fee, but I like to have him around. So he's a 7-year-old lovely boy who just loves to make puppets, and so he is here learning all the world, doing an internship of reverse piratry and making beautiful, beautiful marionette puppets.
Can I just check, is he a real boy or is he a puppet who dreams of being a real boy?
Well, it depends on the day. It depends on how he's feeling. Right. Lately he's been pretty real. Lately he's been pretty real.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. Yeah. It's very hard. I know. You know. I've read those books and seen those films about the little boys who are one in particular who's a puppet and has a big problem with lying and a nose growing, and that, you know, it's quite the journey to become a real boy. But fair play.
It is. And we do screenings for liars, so no liars allowed on the boat. So yeah, that one puppet you're speaking of in particular, he only made it to the second interview, and we had to cut him loose.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, we have to be careful.
You've got to have these strict rules, especially when you're out on, you know, I know what you're doing isn't so dangerous because it's very gentle, very kind, but you are still traversing the seas, and the seas are full of, I mean, I don't really know what they're full of, all sorts of awful things, big things, sharks, whales, or also krakens and leviathans, all those sort of things are in there.
People forget too about the birds, all right? People forget about the birds. It's not just parrots. Mostly those parrots are just bringing me food. The big birds come and they will, they can take down a man's ship in no time at all. So you have to watch out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite crazy. So I didn't realize, so birds can take down ships.
Bigger, and faster than a whale. In reverse pirating, In reverse pirating, it's actually not the beasts of the sea, but the beasts of the sky that are our danger. So yeah, we have lots of nets around the boat. The boat barely moves. In fact, we just kind of try to stave off the birds until we can get enough hot dogs from the water. So it's really, quite a fast and dangerous process.
That is hard. And you mentioned before, actually, you're on the canals rather than the seas as well. So you're dealing all sorts of inland birds. It's very tricky. Have you thought about, I apologize if this is disrespecting the profession or the reverse pirate, official process. But have you ever thought about using a submarine instead or traveling by a different vehicle entirely?
See, this is a great question. And of course, you have this question. It's something that actually people bring up quite a bit. But the problem is that one time, one of the reverse pirate's hooks actually punctured a hole in the submarine and there was a boat collapse. So unfortunately, we've tried that. It is quite dangerous and may he rest in peace.
Wow. Look, I feel sorry for asking. It's clear you've tried these methods before, and you do what works. And it's not your problem. It's the birds. The birds are the problem, and maybe they need to check themselves before they wreck themselves, and change their behaviour.
Yeah. See, we have town councils first Thursday of every month, and
right, sure.
the biggest bird presents himself. We talk it over, but there's a lot of bureaucracy, so there's a lot of paperwork, and nothing quite gets done. But we are in conversation. So one day.
Wow. Well, good luck to you. I say good
Thank
luck.
You.
And
Thank you.
You know, if there's any petitions to sign, I will be right there signing them unless a bird takes it away from me as I'm signing it, and then then there's problems. But generally, yeah. I'll be there.
Thank
I'll be supportive.
You. Thank you. We appreciate you as the community.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me as part. No, you're the community. Anyway, look, I'm pleased. I can be supportive. Listen, Lillian, I'm as I said, I'm so grateful that you have time to come and talk to me today. I've got a question that I think only someone like you can answer. I'll be honest.
Okay.
It's been sent
Thank
in.
Thank you.
But before I ask you, we've got a couple of admin questions. How are you with admin?
I am excellent.
Okay.
Actually, in addition to puppetry, actually, admin is one of my many hobbies. My parents never encouraged me to do full time, but I just personally, I love paperwork. My claws do get stuck through them, so it's a little bit hard, but I'm verbally, administratively excellent.
That's great. I just thought little claws would be quite good for making holes in paper. You could do your own hole punching.
Yeah, that is an aspiration of mine, is to do professional that. But, right now I'm just trying to pay the bills. I'm just trying to pay the ship.
I understand. It's winter, bills don't grow in fields in the same way. I totally understand.
Pizza does, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, well, I've just got two admin questions. The second one I think is harder, but the first one is serious, and I hope you're able to help me with it, really. The first question is quite simply, what is this?
See, that's a great question, and it's something that I studied time and time again at reverse pirating. And it's sort of the philosophical question of our generation as reverse pirates. And so I guess to get to the heart of it, I think this is a topsy-turvy landscape in which what you thought was real is never quite true, and what you thought was true is never quite real. And what I mean by that is people always look at me and they think, oh, that's a nice pirate. That's a nice chap. Mm. But really what people don't know is that I'm so much more than that. I'm a puppeteer, I'm an administrator, I'm a dreamer. And so you never quite know what this is. And I think that is a really beautiful message to all the children out there who might want to become reverse pirates themselves. What you see in the mirror does not define who you actually are. If you know in your heart that you are a reverse pirate, so finding your own personal truth, that's what this is. That's what we came to in university, and actually what I wrote my dissertation on.
That is beautiful. What a beautiful
Thank
answer.
You.
Thank you. And I was,
yeah.
I mean, I am slightly concerned if nothing, so nothing real is true and nothing true is real. I am a little bit concerned that I'm not where I think I am, and I might be someone else entirely.
Well, and see, that is the question that has stopped many people from ever really answering that question. Sort of a fear of, if nothing is true, am I really a reverse pirate? And I think that's just a fear you have to live with. You never quite know. But there's just something about when I have a ship full of hot dogs and I bring those hot dogs to the store and John the Great pays me money for them. It's those small things that maybe this isn't quite true or maybe this isn't quite real, but it feels right for me. And I think that is all I can know. That's all I can know. And I'm at peace with that.
That's nice. That's nice. But you see that. So that's nice. My worry was like, if I have a cup of tea and I think it's true that I've got a cup of tea, but that means it's not really a cup of tea. It's actually like a cup of slugs or something.
See, and that is actually a great question. But the thing is if it were a cup of slugs, would you even know that's a cup of slugs? Because maybe it's actually just a cup of tea. And so anything in the world can just be a cup of tea if you think it is.
Oh, I like that. Okay, in which case, I am going to drink a lot more things. I'm just going to drink everything I see in case it is a cup of tea.
Sometimes I'm on the sea and I'm chugging down a cup of slugs and I just think to myself, this could be hot cocoa, this could be tea, this could be slugs. And you know what? I'm happy with any of those.
That's nice.
Happy with
That's
any of
really
those.
Nice. That's lovely. What a beautiful outlook you have, Lou.
Thank you.
I'm so this is lovely having you on the show today. Question two. Thank you for answering that. Very deep, very deep question. Question two, I think, is harder. So you know, feel free to take your time on this. It's a big one. This we need to know the answer to this. Really, would you rather that you were allergic to anything round or to people saying the word the?
This is a big one. You're right. This is actually a big one. Well, the problem is money is round.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The coins that John the Great gives me in exchange for my hot dogs and my pizzas, which are also round, that would leave me with almost nothing. It would leave me with a few scraps from the parrot of fish from the sea. I mean, a lake is round in and of itself. So I would become jobless. I would become hungry. I would become without any sort of opportunity in my life. And so I think I would have to say a life without the word the, and it would change everything. It would just be John Great. Not John the Great.
Yes. Yes.
I
absolutely,
mean,
yeah.
First and foremost, one of the most important people in my life. It would change the way I do my marionette shows. It would change the way I think about myself. But I think that circles and roundness are so integral to my life that I honestly couldn't live without them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably some things to think about here. Firstly, you know, could you have square pizzas? You know, could you have you know, some money is in notes or in a card, and cards are rectangular. You know, there are sometimes ways around it. Not around it. Oh no, because you'd be allergic to that.
Yeah,
that's tricky. That is tricky. But on the other hand, I was going to say, you know, are there different ways to say the? You might, you know, I don't know if as a pirate you go thar. Or, you know, you might say
that's true.
Something else.
That's true. John, the are great. I mean, it's hard as a reverse pirate is we have different language. So maybe John the great could be nice. But yes, this is true. I mean, honestly, we are thinking about going completely round free after COVID with the advent of contactless cards, with the advent of, you know, homemade pizza, harder to make a circle anyway. So it is really, yeah, that is something to think about as well. But I just think there is something integral to roundness. But so I think maybe we'll just start saying the. It could be nice, actually. It could be some kind of posh and prestige in the reverse pirating scene too. Reverse pirating scene.
Yes. I mean, I think that's very lovely. I think it would make you all sound very... very, very sort of fancy, actually. I think there'd be a real, you're right, like real prestige.
There'd be some elegance in the community.
Your marionette performances would become Shakespearean. It would be quite brilliant, actually. I mean, the other thing I think that we haven't mentioned as well is that It doesn't say how allergic. It might just be a few sneezes. It could be your whole face swells up and looks like a balloon, but we don't know.
I tend to be a person of extremes. So just knowing myself, sure. I mean, I don't just get a few hot dogs at Tesco, all right? I get a boat full. So I think that knowing myself, it would be face swelling up the size of a melon. It would be, wow. I mean, it would be spots on my face. It would be rushing to the emergency room. So I think that knowing myself, I have to really be careful about any sort of allergy.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Although it might scare the birds away. So, you know.
We'll see. And every rose has its thorn and every...
Absolutely. 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 What's real isn't true. And
what's true isn't real. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's in the cup of slugs, or maybe it's not.
Well, we just don't know. And thank you. Lily, you've really thought that through. Thank you for examining the evidence and answering properly. It was a tricky one. I'm sorry I had to ask you that, but it was necessary, admin. Now, listen, we've had this question, and it has been sent in by Millie, who says she is 18 farting cats old. I don't know if you know the farting cats age scale.
Okay.
I think that means she's 64, but I'm not sure.
Yes, actually, we have a farting fish scale, and it is 7-to-1 ratio. So I'm thinking that it's probably somewhere within that range would make sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, yes. It's very slightly different for cats, but I think it is. I think that means she's 60. It's very hard to tell. But Millie, I mean, whatever age, 18 farting cats or 64 human years or however many farting fish, she's got many questions. And this, interestingly, actually, this question is about cats.
Okay.
Not farting, but perhaps farting ones, I don't know. She has asked, who let the cats out?
Yes, this is a big one. Millie, thank you so much for sending this in. See, the problem is we're talking about from a society that is using farting cats as the metric. So it's actually the farts smelled so bad that the boy had to open the door to... at least this is what happened on the ship. Our little puppeteer boy, the intern, had to open the door of the ship to get the farts out of the basement of the ship. And all the cats ran out. It did scare away the birds. So honestly, momentarily, that was great. But yeah, that was our big problem in January was all of the cats got let out of the ship. It was chaos everywhere. They were eating all the fish. I was not getting any of the fish from the parrot. It was absolute madness. So yeah, it is very tricky.
Wow. And having cats on, you're on a canal boat as well. You're on a boat in the canal. How did the cats react to being near water? Was that good for them?
See, they don't like it. So this is why we have to keep them in the basement of the ship, which is also another reason why when the farts got so bad and the boy let the cats out on deck, they saw the water for the first time and absolutely freaked out. So it was another reason why I'm at port is because we had to make a stop, let the cats off. So now the cats are in. No more cats on the ship. We are infested with mice. It is the cats are no longer near water. They're happier. The farts have been removed from the ship. And as I said, we're in council with the birds. So we have our next meeting next Thursday. So it's all happening. Life never stops.
Yeah, it's so busy. Your life is so busy. It's amazing. I have to say, you know, it's fascinating hearing it sort of vicariously through you, living it vicariously through you.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I need to check though is obviously Millie. You know, is Millie someone you know? She's definitely talking about the cats on your ship, or has the boy been letting out cats all around the world? Or is that part of his reverse pirating deeds?
Yes, well, some of his, actually, the reason that he is on our boat is because he is the best boy to be able to detect the farts on a boat, let the cats out.
Wow.
So this is actually what really kind of cinched him the deal on our... We were looking at lots of different applicants, as I said, several different boys that we found out were liars that we could let on the boat, but he is the best one. So I guess I'm just assuming that Millie is referring to the classic cats on a boat that our boy is so well-versed in.
Yeah, what a skill to have. What a skill to have. It's got to be very hard to train in that skill where I guess you've got to really learn exactly the, you know, what the first whiff of a cat fart smells like, and
exactly
when the moment to release them is, when it becomes, you know, when it becomes not just stinky but too dangerous at the same
this
time.
This is the thing. Yeah, it's sort of a threshold. There's actually a scale. I've been educated by him. Right, we have lots of time at sea, so he, you know, conversations abound, and he's actually told me about this scale of, you know, sometimes you can just get a whiff of it, but when the cats are really kind of reaching a critical level of fart, then you have to kind of time that just right, kind of let it all out. And of course, it doesn't always work out. Sometimes the cats get out, as happened on our boat. But yes, it is. It can be quite dangerous. So we have to really have that boy make sure that we can be in a livable situation.
You know, again, I'm just sort of showing my ignorance here of how it all works. But I do sort of wonder why do you have cats on boats in the first place? What are they there for? Is it a necessary part of a ship?
It is actually a necessary part of the ship because we have so much food on the boat. We have pizzas, we have hot dogs. I haven't even mentioned the soft serve ice cream trucks that are on the boat as well.
Wow.
So we have lots that we have to protect. Lots of rats are on the boat, and so really the cats are there to eat the rats, who would then eat the food that we are going to bring to John the Great in exchange for money. So it's really a beautiful but quite complex ecosystem.
That's really complex. So
it is.
So that you've got the food, which brings the rats. So you get the cats to get rid of the rats, and then you get the boy to get rid of the cats.
Exactly.
What happens if the boy is problematic or farts too much? Who gets rid of the boy?
Well, see, we actually are fearful that the boy will get rid of us one day. So we kind of...
Wow.
Kind of whom first. So, you know, the boy, we love him, but he... successor, potentially, to kind of do a delicate dance.
That is tricky. Is it like with reverse pirates? Because, you know, I suppose pirates make someone walk the plank. With reverse pirates, do all of you have to walk the plank and one person stay on the boat?
We actually hold the plank and the boy walks on it. So that's sort of our tradition.
Right. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. Yeah.
It is beautiful. Yeah, it's really... That first plank walk, you know, to initiate a boy into a man of the ship is really quite a beautiful ceremony. All the cats watching, all the birds flying around. It's really quite nice.
It sounds like such a lovely life.
It is. I'm happy. I'm happy. I live a really beautiful existence.
That is great. Well, listen, thank you. I mean, you got to the heart of that question very quickly. It's not something you know, I think people are very aware that people have been letting dogs out. It's been a question about who's been letting dogs out for quite some time. People be very unaware about who let the cats out. And
I'm glad to spread the message. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for spreading the message. And, what are you up to now? I guess you're in the cafe. Have you got rid of all your food? Have you got much pirating ahead, specific missions, specific journeys?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we have gotten all the money. John the Great is actually napping because he's so full of hot dogs and pizza. And tonight we're just going to do a little marionette show. And then, we're looking for lots of new cats since all of our cats now are kind of on land. So I think I'll just go around to the local animal shelter, gather up some lovely cats. And then once I have kind of a nice ensemble of cats, I'll pack up my puppets, I'll pack up my cats, pop by the old Tesco for some bulk hot dogs. And then I think we're just going to sail on down to, I think the next destination is actually going to be Cambridge. So we're going to go down the canal, get down to Cambridge, maybe compete in a boating race or two, and then see where the wind takes us.
That's so, and by wind, you don't mean the farting cats, you mean actual wind.
Depends how farty these cats we get from the shelter are, but I'm hoping real wind because, you know, every time a cat farts, the boy has to do more work, and then it just becomes the whole thing.
Yeah, that is tricky. I just one last quick thought, actually, because you get cats to eat the rats. You'd never think of getting, something else that eats rats, like snakes, or is that a bad idea?
I am scared of snakes, so no snakes. We did try briefly dogs, but the dogs just like to play with the rats. And also people already know who let the dogs out. So it kind of became a little bit cliche. So yeah, we settled on cats. We did. And Of course, they have their problems, as I've already mentioned, but so far it's working for us and we're quite happy.
Wonderful. I've learned already in this conversation, I shouldn't really question you. You know, you're an expert in what you do, and it's so fascinating. Speaking to a reverse pirate like yourself, first one on the show. So listen, you know, good luck with the voyages, good luck with the boat
races,
good luck with the farting cats, and hopefully we'll catch you on a journey at some point in the future.
I look forward to it. Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Don't go away empty handed. I must say that we have some very lovely friends.
Thanks so much to Lillian Wenker for having the time in between all her reverse pirating to help answer Millie's question. Millie, I do hope you liked your answer, and if not, please do send any complaints you have by cat, and it'll definitely never ever reach me. I mean, can you imagine trusting a cat with the post? It would be awful. And of course, then I'll never have to read it. If you out there, yes, you would like to send in a question that you need to have answered, or you just want to send in anything else at all, then please get your custard breath gribbles, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. If they want to support this show, they can also sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition for a small fee, and check out our website at comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows. And please, please, please recommend Radio Nonsense to anyone you know out there who is very deadly serious. That's the only listeners I want to this show. Deadly serious ones. Okay, the Fair Fanfare Grand Trade Fair Fairground were very, very good. And they took away the rubbish man who did the rubbish fanfares. And they said they'd send me a new proper one. But they don't seem to be here yet. So, I mean, that's a shame, really, because I need to announce the last two winners. I guess I'll just sort of go ahead and do it, and maybe they'll turn up in time. This is from... No, okay. This is from Phoebe, age 6. She says, "His name is Sir Fartalot. He can't control his farts, and they smell like the rubbish dump. His farts are so big that they make earthquakes all over the world. Tectonic plates push into each other. He is very vain and thinks that he is wonderful. He also does little tooting farts, which make him fly and crash into things. He lives in the rubbish dump, and he doesn't care because he thinks it's awesome. He eats muscly seagulls and dust cans. He has a little bit of baby hair curling down his forehead." Phoebe, this is amazing. You definitely win a book too, and we'll have one sent out to you very soon. I love that Sir Fartalot has farts that smell like a rubbish dump, but he also lives in a rubbish dump, so I guess he never really knows whether the smell is from his bum or his home. I'm also quite scared of muscly seagulls, I have to say. They sound scary. Do they, like, lift weights, like pump iron? I worry that they try and steal my chips by just sort of lifting me up and throwing me into the sea and then taking all my chips. And that sounds awful. Thank you, Phoebe, and congratulations. Any sign of the fanfare man? No? No? Okay, we've only got one more to... Okay, all right. Well, next up, we have Millie and Jack, who are brother and sister, and they sent in, Millie sent in Tortoise Man, who is a tortoise with a cape, and his superpower is telling the time. Amazing. I think telling the time could be quite useful, but my worry is that by being a tortoise, by the time he got to you to tell the time in an emergency, it would be too late, whatever the time was, and that makes him really rubbish. And then Jack has sent in Sock Guy, a man whose superpower is being able to hit baddies with a sock. Maybe, if they're about a metre away. Sock Guy sounds brilliantly rubbish, Jack. I love him. If he's using long sports socks, he might be okay at hitting baddies. But then if he has those tiny trainer socks, then he's even more rubbish. Millie and Jack, you'll get a book sent to you. And I'm afraid, as your brother and sister, you'll just have to share it. I'm sorry. Maybe you can decide with a smelly sock battle who gets to read it first. And also, I'd like to give a special shout out to Ben, age 10, who sent in a very funny rubbish superhero. But he did it on a 2-star review. 2 stars? Come on, Ben. But I'm afraid you can't win because it was email entries only. But I did very much like that you put Man, the superhero who has the smell of 2 unwashed men. And that's it. What a horrible power that is. And it is very, very funny. Next time, Ben, see if you can find someone with the superpower of email so you can enter the competition properly. I love all those superheroes, everyone that got sent in, and hopefully they'll all be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe very, very soon. I would go see a whole film about Sir Fartalot, definitely. Or the hero that has... just says no. Imagine a whole movie of someone just going, no. That'd be amazing. There's going to be a brand new competition next week. Again, it will just be for UK and Irish entries. Sorry about that, but do listen in. And I guess maybe by next week, the fanfare person might have actually arrived. So weird. All that's left to say is...
Sorry!
Ah, bye.
You have been listening to
Comedy Club for Kids Presents.
Radio nonsense, radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense.
It's the end.